U.S. Army Major James Gant also knows a lot about Afghan tribal loyalties. Like Beatty, Gant has spent multiple tours in Afghanistan and also Iraq. But he doesn't agree that Afghan police officers should be assigned to locations far from home and from their home tribes. Gant argues that NATO forces should instead play to the strengths of Afghanistan society by engaging directly with the tribes.
In my estimation, from what I have seen about the tribal people there in Afghanistan, both friendly and enemy, is that the centerpiece for their existence is kind of a warrior mentality, warrior-type code. Once you understand that, everything else is kind of based on that. And I've told people many, many times, the reason that we, as in my Special Forces team, was so successful with them is because we were a tribe ourselves. And everything that we did on a daily basis was built around being a warrior.
Well, we just heard from Doug Beatty that it's actually difficult to trust Afghans if they're police. So how can you be sure that one of these men of honor can be trusted in the context of his tribe when he's not a police?
You know, they recruit these guys and they train them, and then they pull them away from their tribes, their areas, where it is that they grew up. And so at that point, who does their loyalty lie with? There is no such thing in most cases of a central government, of a United States of Afghanistan. They do not think in terms of that. They think in terms of their tribe, their clan, their subclan, their family. And so when you take them out of that, I mean, what are they fighting for?
No, it sounds like a great idea, but I mean, the recruitment process right now is the responsibility of the Afghan government. And is the U.S. in any position to tell the Afghan government who to recruit?
No, absolutely not. However, the question is, are we going to continue to support a strategy or support a plan that we think is going to work and that the central government thinks is going to work that clearly is not working and it has not worked for 8 years? We start saying things like good governance, and you can't explain it because they've never had it. In their eyes, it's corrupt. In their eyes, you know, people are trying to take their power away and things like that.
A lot of people think that something else should be just leaving Afghanistan altogether. And there are times, as I read your paper, where it felt, at least in the context of an Afghanistan in wartime, it felt a bit naive, almost like taking Peace Corps-style village residencies, albeit with a military shopping list, AK-47s, lots of ammunition, sat phones. Do you see this as a last-ditch effort? I mean, can it be replicated on a larger scale? I guess that's the question.
I will tell you that the answer to that is absolutely positively yes. Now, let's just say 25 six-man teams, you know, go in. You know, five or six of them are wiped out. Five or six of them fail. And, you know, 12 or 13 of them have varying degrees of success. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that Afghanistan as a whole is happy and prosperous and all those things? No, it doesn't. What it does mean is that not only is it going to help with the overall counterinsurgency efforts there, but there are some long-term benefits and effects for establishing strong relationships with a lot of the tribes in that area. We are expecting things from the Afghan National Army and the Afghan National Police that we are unwilling to give to the tribes, which is commitment, persistence, hard work. You know, we want them dedicated to this mission. Well, once we show an investment, and I like to call it some skin, some blood, once we're out there with them, I am telling you, they will fight to the death, tooth and nail, for us.
Major James Gant of the U.S. Army Special Forces speaking with us from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Thanks very much for speaking with us.
And thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
And you can read more of Major Gant's views by going to theworld.org.